Christian greetings to everyone here. We greet you in the name of our risen Lord and Master, Jesus Christ, the one who one day ascended into heaven and the one we await to appear one day soon. Welcome to everyone that's here today. Trust that you all can feel God's Spirit working and moving in our midst, and that God's Spirit can be faithful in teaching us from His Word, as He already has been. I've been blessed by the devotional we had first off this morning. The singing of the hymns has been very good, meaningful hymns, meaningful songs we've sung together, and may God continue to do His work among us. Also wanted to give a word of thanks and appreciation to the congregation for the ministerial aid offering we received recently. Thanks so much for that. And many other ways, prayer and all the other things that you offer on behalf of the ministry. And thank you for that. We appreciate that. And thank God and thank you for it. During this past week, I've been reading in the book of Luke. In my personal devotions, I've been there for a little bit of time now. It has been a great inspiration to me to read in this book again. The Gospel of Luke, written by a physician, written by a doctor, is directed to a Gentile audience. And it has a flavor of its own. He's talking about the Son of Man. And he often speaks about the humanitarian side of Christ and His life and His ministry. And it's a very special book to me. But one evening in this past week, I was reading and noticed a phrase that captured my attention, and as the weekend drew near, I felt led to preach this morning on two words that just kind of gripped my attention. The two words this morning that I want to have as a title are accounted worthy. Accounted worthy. And then in studying a bit, I discovered that in the book of Luke is the only time that these words are used together, accounted worthy, and in the Greek, they are but one word. They are, as it were, a compound word in Greek, whereas for us it's two words. And I did not, because there was a complex meaning, I'm not sure how many lines in the Strong's dictionary were listed there to give the one word, and the other word was quite simple. And I couldn't even begin with my limited understanding to determine what the one word was, but accounted worthy in the Greek is a word similar to this pronunciation, kataxio. Kataxio. What does accounted worthy mean? What does kataxio mean? It means to deem or to reckon entirely deserving. To deem or to reckon entitled to. To reckon as being fit. So when we think of the word accounted worthy, kataxio, we're thinking of something that is totally prepared for. And if we think about the Sunday school lesson we just had and what is necessary to become, make that grand transition from a life of sin and ungodliness, without hope and without God in this world, and somehow be changed from that to being entirely or completely deserving. That's a huge distance. And yet it's made possible by the mediator, Jesus Christ. And that thought in itself is very, very big for me to understand or be able to talk about. And yet that's where my thoughts are this morning. To go from the destination, some of you heard me speak on Friday night about the doctrine of hell, and the bridge that must be built to where a person who was on the way to eternal destruction, eternal damnation, can somehow change through through regeneration, through the renewing of the Holy Ghost, the washing of the water by the Word, becoming a new creature, and then be on his way to the courts of glory. That is a huge gap. It's a huge bridge. And so I hope that the tone this morning is a bit different than it was Friday night. But we want to just look into this subject a wee little bit. And some of this actually gets close to prophetic word this morning, because we do want to read text and we want to read context. And it's having to do somewhat with what we're facing today, but some of this has little glimpses of the future. We want to read text and context where these verses are found, this phrase is found. We do plan to read some scripture this morning. As Jesus in this time in the book of Luke is nearing the end of his earthly ministry and his life here on earth, as he faces challenging questions that are calculated for his ruin, calculated, if you please, for his demise, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they're coming to him with questions, and they're coming with a malicious intent to see if Jesus is going to stumble up, see if he's going to mess up, and so they can catch him in his words and hopefully have some evidence to use against him so that they possibly can remove him from his position. Everything was, and it, here at the end, it says that they'd come to him with a question tempting him, meaning something that they see if they can get him to stumble up this time. Well, it never happened. They wanted to find fault with him. But in the midst of all of this, he leaves some teaching and some prophetic information that we can benefit from today. Now, with that as an introduction, we're going to go now to the book of Luke, and we're going to start in chapter 20. Now, I'm just going to read some of this and explain some of this, and then we're going to get into some more reading. In chapter 20 and verse 27 of Luke, it says, "There came to him certain of the Sadducees, which deny that there is any resurrection. And they ask him a question. And it has to do with a law that Moses gave, that whenever a man would marry a woman, and a man would die without leaving any children, that the brother of that man who died should marry the same wife." And it goes on to describe how in such a, maybe it's a hypothetical situation, they say it happened, maybe it didn't happen, but I suppose it did. They said there were seven such brothers who married the same wife. Because each one of them died in their sequence, and last of all, after the seventh man died, his wife died also, his widow died. That would be an interesting scenario in itself. But then, they laid out the challenge, the punchline. Verse 33, "Therefore in the resurrection, whose wife of them is she? For seven had her to wife." So now they've got Jesus over a barrel, don't they? They've got a question in front of him that he can't handle. Now let's read verse 34 and following. "And Jesus answering said unto them, The children of this world marry and are given in marriage." Note verse 35. "But they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage, neither can they die any more, for they are equal unto the angels and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. Now that the dead are raised, even Moses showed at the bush when he called the Lord the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. For he is not a God of the dead, but of the living. For all live unto him. Then certain of the scribes answering said, "Master, thou hast well said." And after that, they durst not ask him any question at all. I'm going to leave that passage there, and we're going to go on down into chapter 21, and we're going to read verse 5 and following. Note the context here, and I'm going to just say ahead of time that as we read this, it's hard for me sometimes in reading these passages in Matthew and other places, in Luke specifically, it's hard for me sometimes to delineate what is the prophecies regarding the destruction of Jerusalem, which happened approximately 70 AD, and what has to do with the end of time, although it does seem like there's some that apply to both. But I just thought, because of the message this morning and where we're going with it, or what we plan to say, I thought it would just be a benefit to let God's Word speak to us in this subject. For that reason, we're going to have a lengthy reading here in chapter 21. Luke 21, verse 5, "And as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he said, As for these things which ye behold, the days will come in the which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And they asked him, saying, Master, when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? And he said, Take heed that ye be not deceived. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ. And the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then said he unto them, Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences, and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these they shall lay their hands upon you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts not to meditate before what ye shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom with all your adversary, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolk and friends. And some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not an hair of your head perish. In patience possess ye your souls. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart not. And let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and there shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And he spake to them a parable, Behold the fig tree, and all the trees, when they shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that the summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare it shall come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy. Our title again. Accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. And in the day time he was teaching in the temple, and at night he went out and abode in the mount that is called the Mount of Olives. And all the people came early in the morning to him in the temple for to hear him. I just want to make a few comments on the passage, and then we're going to look at focusing then on the part accounted worthy. I just am impressed as I read verse 24 of chapter 21 that it says that these things are going to happen, and the inhabitants of the land will be scattered abroad across the world. Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And there's cross-references in my Bible here to Daniel chapter 9 and Romans chapter 11 that would indicate that there's a time when the Gentiles have access. There's a time when the Gentiles have an opportunity at the gospel. But there comes a time when that time is fulfilled. And then God's plans change. Then there's something else coming. I don't know what all that means, but I know it's there for a good reason. And one of the interesting passages cross-referenced in my Bible is Romans chapter 11. If you go there, then you realize some of the context there. And Lord willing, in a few months, we're going to hear a Sunday evening sermon, if God so tarries, regarding the context of Romans 11 and those verses. I'm looking forward to that. Anyway, we're going to go on now and look at some other verses. I want to look now at verse 26. Men's hearts failing them for fear, and looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Now back in 2001, in the events that happened on September 11th, some of you are aware that there were many, many people who were on different stories of the World Trade Center when those airplanes hit that thing, when those buildings. And there were people who, because of fear and fright or whatever reason, they took their own lives by jumping out of windows and such. You're aware that many people around that time committed suicide because they saw that their holdings in those large investments and all that was contained there, they committed suicide because it was all over for them. And that kind of thing happens. And you know how it is whenever there is, and of course earthquakes here aren't as well known, but there was one that shook most of Central America this very week. It happened in the Caribbean Sea, off the shores of Honduras, and most of our relatives in Belize, and across Nicaragua, and even in, I'm thinking, into Costa Rica, some of them felt it, and it was a big one. And it talks here about things in the sea, things that are happening in the ocean. The sea and the waves roaring, and there was tsunami warnings all across the Caribbean and surroundings. Things that happen, and people get all shook up, and some people die because of heart attacks, and then they attribute it to an act of God and so on. And yet these things not only have happened, they are happening and will continue to happen. People's hearts failing them, people that don't know what to do, in desperation, because they don't have any security in Jesus. You know? And this is the kind of things that we can expect to see and things that can happen in our world. The signs in the sun. And if you want to go a little further, the moon. Signs in the moon and in the stars. You know, there's always this worry about stuff that's out in space and collision of certain heavenly bodies and all that type of stuff. And these scientists think they've got it pretty figured out, but God has control where they're totally out of control. They don't know what's going to happen. Distress of nations. Most of us are acquainted with some of that. These are things that are happening. And then men respond to that. And they're worried about what's coming upon the earth. Economic crises and nuclear war and all that. And it does say that the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then we get to verse 27. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming with cloud. In a cloud with power and great glory. And for some reason it says over in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7, a very powerful verse, and I wonder how this is going to be. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I don't know what that day will be like. Every eye shall see him. And then at the end it says, even so, amen. Just let it be so. Just want the word to speak to us this morning. And then verse 32. This generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. I wish I'd have a better understanding of that. But the Bible would teach us that there's coming a time when this it's going to happen. One, it says in one place, as travail upon a woman with child, the terminology that is used, it gets closer and closer and closer until there is a birth. And that's the way it is in this generation whenever these things begin to come to pass. And it says here that the generation shall not pass until it all happens. And I would tend to believe that we're close to that. Very close to that. And possibly closer than we think we are. And I'm not here to make any predictions. But I just like that verse. And I want us to keep that in mind. How close are we to seeing the second coming of Christ? It can't be far away. It just can't be. I just want to keep that alive among us as God's people. Let's keep it alive. That vision that one of these days it's going to happen. Let's keep it alive. Let's not forget it. And Jesus, for some reason, says in verse 34, take heed to yourselves. He looks at us. He looks at you and I this morning. He looks at me. He looks at every one of us and says, take heed to yourselves. Why? Lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that day come upon you unawares. And there's some synonyms in the column of my Bible. It would tell us to resist temptation, resist worldliness, restrain the carnal appetites, stay away from drunkenness, stay away from the excess of riot, and stay away from those ensnaring cares of this life. The cares of this life. And is the money going to reach? And should I make this next purchase? And what is that? What should I do over here? And now that this happened, what do I do next? The cares of this life. The cares of life come thronging fast upon my soul, their shadows cast. Their gloom reminds my heart at last, thou thinkest, Lord, of me. But many times the cares of this life just smother out the good things that God wants to do in our lives. It says, all this list of stuff, and the technology, and the easy credit, so-called, for as a snare, it shall come on all them that dwell in the face of the whole earth. And that includes the people of God. The snare can come right close to an audience and assembly like our own this morning. And other God's people. But it comes upon the whole earth. And some of us, how should I say this? There's always the possibility that the people of God can be caught in a snare of the type of things that it lists here. There is so much frivolity and carnality and worldliness on all sides of us. And it shall come like a snare, and hope to God that his people are not in the snare. Hopefully we're wise as serpents and harmless as doves and see the signs of the times and recognize how serious life really is. Hopefully we can see it. Now, for the remainder of our time this morning, I'd just like to go back and make brief mention. And again, we want the scripture to speak. Look at the things that we, unworthy as we are, if we're godly people this morning and walking in the ways of the Lord Jesus, following the Lamb of God. There's four things this morning that I found here, and probably there are more that I missed, but I just want to highlight four things for the which we can be accounted worthy. The first one is in verse 35 of chapter 20. Counted worthy to obtain that world. And on Friday night we talked about the doctrine of hell. But as the southerner, the slave boy, one time said it, he was talking about that very story in Luke 16, if I remember correctly, talking about the rich man in hell. But as he said in his southern drawl, in the other world, things was different. In the other world where Lazarus was, and the world where the Christian wants to be someday, things are different, brethren and sisters. And it's possible that us who have named the name of Christ, who have called upon his name for salvation from sin, we can obtain that world where there are streets of gold. Beautiful things up there. We can obtain that world, not because of our merits, not because we're such good people, but because we made arrangements with that lawyer we were hearing about in Sunday school today, that advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous, the propitiation for our sins. We made arrangements with him, and he gives us that provision, that promise. Counted worthy, accounted worthy, deemed entirely deserving of that world. Entitled to something in that world. Fit for, prepared for that world. Are you ready for that world this morning? Are you headed to that world? Does that have your interest? Does that captivate your attention this morning? Counted worthy to obtain that world. And then, counted worthy number two, and the resurrection from the dead. Accounted worthy of the resurrection from the dead. And we're going to go back now to John chapter 5. Some very powerful verses here that Jesus himself says regarding the resurrection. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I'm in John 5:25. Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given life to the he has given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, and they that have done good to the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. And some of that we were talking about the other night. But to give a little more clarity on some of this, I'd like to go now to the book of Revelation in chapter 20. And I know that there's things about this I sure don't understand, but I just want the word to speak for what it says this morning. Because whenever we get to Revelation, God is giving his final message to man. His final word, as in written word, the final written word is coming in this passage of Revelation, in this book. And God wants to make it extremely clear to all men who read it what he's trying to say. And I'm impressed as I think about the resurrection. Remember, the point right now is accounted worthy of the resurrection from the dead. And so we're just going to read this as the word says in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4. And I know there's details here that I'm not able to explain this morning, but there's some here that at least make some sense to me. And I'm going to read now Revelation 20 verse 4. I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. And note verse 6, accounted worthy to obtain the resurrection of the dead. That's the point. Remember, now look at verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Jesus pronounces a blessing on those who have part in the first resurrection. And brethren and sisters, this morning, we can be, by the merits of the shed blood of Christ on Calvary's cross, by believing in him and by living for him, in spite of our humanity and our frequent failures, we can be accounted worthy to have part in that resurrection. I believe that this morning. Now, going over to Luke 21, it says, accounted worthy to escape all these things. And I, looking at the context, am not altogether sure what that includes. But you and I this morning can be accounted worthy. But let's look what it says in the very first words of verse 36, Luke 21, 36. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy. Now, are we watching this morning? Are we watching? Are we expecting that one of these days on earth will be our last? Are we watching? Are we praying? Are our hearts in readiness for that day? Jesus says, watch and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy, that ye may be reckoned as totally deserving to escape all these things. And what's included in all these things, I would expect that it has to do something with, as we see the end time events unfolding, our hearts do not need to fail for fear. And we don't have to be all shook up like Belshazzar was the fateful night whenever that hand showed up on the wall. That doesn't have to be the position of the child of God. We don't need to be scared about what's going to happen tomorrow. Tomorrow might never get here. We should, as I've already mentioned, take heed to ourselves. That's part of watching and praying. The person who is watching and praying is being careful. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the snares of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Watch and pray that you may be able, accounted worthy to escape all these things. And I know that some people would say that that means that there's tribulation times that are coming to the world and all of that, and we can escape all of that. I'm not sure how much of that God's people in every case will escape. Because it looks to me like things in some parts of the world are already very, very tense and very difficult for the people of God. And I think those things may be closer to us than we realize sometimes. But I don't know what is all included in escaping all those things. But I do know that there is a rest that God's people have. There is a consolation. I know that there is a comforter that lives close to the person who walks with Jesus. I know there is an assurance, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory do you buy. I know that that can be the portion of those who walk with the Lord, accounted worthy to escape all these things. And I cannot guarantee any of us this morning what our future will be, but I know for we will follow the Good Shepherd through life. He will be faithful to us through the valley of the shadow of death, and we don't need to fear evil, for he is with us. Counted worthy to escape all these things. Maybe some more of you would have some thoughts on that. And then it says, and to stand before the Son of Man. That's in the fourth one. Accounted worthy to stand before the Son of Man. The prophet said it this way, but who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? And Jesus says there can be those who are accounted worthy to stand before the Son of Man. And that we can only do if we know him as our personal Savior. That we can only do if we follow him as Master and Lord of our lives. That's the only way that we can be accounted worthy. Because what do the others do? They cry for the rocks and the mountains to hide them from the wrath of the Lamb. That's what they do. The wrath of the Lamb. Could we imagine the wrath of the Lamb? The Lamb of God, who for one is the most precious possession, the most precious person in their life, the Lamb of God, and the other cries out for mercy to hide him from the wrath of the Lamb. Jesus says, watch and pray that you can be accounted worthy to stand before the Son of Man. Oh, that must be an awesome thing to do. And we, you know, and there's probably a lot there that I don't understand too, but to stand before the Son of Man in holiness, in godliness. I just want the Spirit of God to take those few thoughts. And in closing, I'd like to read a hymn. As I was studying last night, I had a little flashback of teenage years when me and some close friends sang a song. I haven't heard this song for probably since I was like 16 years old. I may have heard it somewhere on a recording, but it's been years again since I've heard it. But suddenly this song came to my mind. And I went to try to find it and took a while. And this little song kind of summarizes the thoughts that I have this morning, I believe. And I just hope that it's an encouragement to all of us this morning. You and I can be accounted worthy. The title is, When He Shall Come. When He Shall Come, resplendent in His glory, to take His own from out this veil of night. Oh, may I know the joy at His appearing, only at morn to walk with Him in white. When He shall call from earth's remotest corners all who have stood triumphant in His might, oh, to be worthy then to stand beside them, and in that morn to walk with Him in white. When I shall stand within the court of heaven, where white-robed pilgrims pass before my sight, earth's martyred saints and blood-washed overcomers, these then are they who walk with Him in white. And I trust that someday, by the grace and mercy of Almighty God and the provisions of the Lamb of God, every one of us here can be accounted worthy to walk with him in white. Let's kneel for prayer.